The Lord is good.
Amen.
Yeah. I just want to thank really, Pastor Andres and Lisa for the revelation that God put upon their lives to just take care of me and mentor me. It's a great thing to me because I was called when I was 12 years old. And before 18, I was already filled with the Holy Spirit. I was going to schools and preach. And I started experiencing even signs and wonders. But stuff happened that I slided back. I became off because I remember the times when I wanted to go to church, but I don't have shoes. But I'm also expected to preach there. And I've gone through a lot. So when I came to South Africa, Pastor Mario and Celeste took care of me. And they gave me the job. They gave me the place to stay. And that changed my life. When Andres came, I don't know what God spoke to him. But he told me that this is not the job that you're supposed to do. God has called you. And I looked back. I couldn't say, no, God did not call me because I knew it. But I never know where to start. But he gave me all the support. And together with Pastor Yaku and Kaman and the rest of you guys, you are a blessing to my life. May God bless you. As he has said, this is my first sermon. Yeah, this is my first sermon in South Africa. I came here 2008, and this is my first sermon. But the Lord is good. The title of the sermon is Lay It Down. I struggled a lot to come up with this title, Lay It Down, because I have realized that we are living in times when I and myself has become a god or an idol, even amongst Christians. And just like the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says they covered themselves with leaves. That is self-righteousness. And putting on mask. And that's being carnal. And it's very dangerous. And I just want to give you an example. If we take an orange and if we squash it, we have orange juice. If we squash a lemon, lemon juice. But most of the times when the world has squashed Christians, Jesus is not coming out from that. It's something else. And we need to be Christians when times are good and Christians when times are bad. We need to be Christians when we are sick and Christians when we are in good health. We need to be Christians when we have money or when we don't have money. I wanted to say hallelujah. Okay. We can read our first scripture is Luke 14 verse 16 to 20. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first says, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." And another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The picture here is we are all invited. But what are our excuses? God has invited us all. But what are our excuses? Look, the reasons given, they are good reasons. This guy has just married and he need to go to honeymoon. But at the same time, God has called him. What can you do? And he's saying, "Lord, I'm going to come. after my honeymoon. And that is a problem with God. Is this the God we believe? Or the God we know? This person is married. We know marriage. It's a good thing. It's a blessing. And the same time, God has called him. And he's refusing the call of God just because he's going to the honeymoon. And that is a problem. Hallelujah. Sorry. Yeah. The thing is, God is a loving father. God is not an abusing father. The thing is, God is not a taker. God is a blesser. The thing is, God doesn't want us to have idols in our lives. Back home in Malawi, I saw a lot of people having functions, like there's a tree, maybe they are going through problems or issues. And old women and old fathers or old men, they take mili-mili and they go under the tree, they kneel down there, and they start mentioning the names of the people who died a long time ago. They call them the ancestors. The names of the grandfathers who died in the 1800s or so. And they take the mili-mili and they do like this whilst they are mentioning things that they want in their lives. And back home, to me, this was idols. But when I came to this country, South Africa, I realized that this is not only the idols we have. Even this, a marriage which is a good thing, became an idol to this guy who is called by God. Even this oxen, which are good things, became an idol when God called this guy. Because God doesn't want to be number two in your lives. He is a jealous God. The moment God has called you, if you say, excuse me, God, the reason doesn't matter. If you read the scripture, all the reasons are very good. I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way. Actually, this guy is on his way. He is on his way going. And the Lord on his way is saying, I want to use you. And he says, God, can't you see? I'm already traveling on my way. Excuse me. To us, he had a good reason. He had a good reason. And this one is saying, I just got married, so I can't come. I think this is a good reason. The other one is saying, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. I think this is a good reason. But to God, all these reasons are idols. All these excuses are not good enough. Remember, lay it down is the topic or the title for our message. God doesn't want to be number two in our lives. He is God. He is more than Jacob Zuma. He is more than Queen Elizabeth. His glory is just too much. He is worshipped by animals that our eyes have never seen. He is worshipped by angels. His glory is just too much. He is God. And he is a loving God. He is not an abusive father. He is a loving father. He is not a taker. He is a blesser. But he is a jealous God. If you say, I'm a Christian, he wants him, Jesus, to be number one in your life. Any other excuse, put it on number two. Let Jesus drive your car. Don't drive your cars and put him on the back seat and direct him. He is God. He is God. Don't try to remote control Jesus. He is God. He left heaven just for you. He became poor just for you. He was beaten just for you. He shed tears just for you. He prayed in the night in Gethsemane just for you. So putting him on number two and putting something that can perish, even with fire, it means we're putting, that thing is an idol. And God don't want to be on number two. God wants to be number one in your lives. But the good thing, we are all invited. We can also read John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. I think this is one of Pastor Andre's favorite scriptures as well. We need to graduate to a level of hearing him. When you pray, before you say amen, hear him also speaking to your life. What is he saying to you? That is a relationship he needs to have with you. Not coming to him always 1 hour, 30 minutes, telling him stories, and you don't care what he's going to tell you. We can also read Isaiah 54 verse 6. For the Lord has called you like a wife who has been abandoned, grieved in spirit, and like a wife who was married in her youth, later rejected, says your God. This is deep. This is deep. This is deep. This is a deep scripture. For the Lord has called you like a wife who was abandoned, like a wife who was grieved in spirit, like a wife who was married in youth, but later rejected and scorned. As we said, anything to do with I, me, myself, excuses, deny us the access into the kingdom of God. The I, me, and myself versus the call of God. These things, the call of God and excuse me and whatever reasons, doesn't mix. And that on its own also is a sin. When we disobey God. We can also read Genesis 4 verse 1 to 14. Now the man Adam knew Eve as his wife. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have obtained a man with the help of the Lord. And she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks. But Cain cultivated the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the Lord of the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought the firstborn of his flock in the fat portions. And the Lord had respect for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no respect. So Cain became extremely angry. And he looked annoyed and hostile. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why do you look annoyed? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Then it continues, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. This is an advice from God to Cain. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, about that. And when they were in the field, Cain attacked Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. And he asked God, am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground.
If you see all these questions God is asking, it doesn't mean God doesn't know. This is how deep the love of God is for us. If you read the Bible in the New Testament, they say salvation is when you confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. So this is what God is actually trying to do to Cain. He's asking him a lot of questions so that at least he can have a chance to confess. Because God is not going to force us to accept him. So sometimes he comes up with questions and stories. That's why Jesus Christ loved parables. So God is asking Cain, not because God doesn't know what happened. God actually knows. But he just wants Cain to have a second chance to say, God, the question you have asked me, I've actually killed my brother. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. God is a loving God. But instead now, Cain is trying to be rude to God. Am I my brother's keeper? So Cain saved God his own way. Though he knew God's way. I used to struggle long time ago when I read this scripture. My first question was, why would God accept Abel's offering and deny Cain's offering? This guy, he was a farmer, and it is so hard to farm. And the other guy had sheep and goats. He just take them out into the bush and sit on the stone, you see, and just watch them eating. And this guy, his sacrifice is being accepted by God. The other guy is a farmer. These are their professions. So my question what really happened? Why did God accept this guy? Who is a little bit not even putting a lot of efforts in his sheep and goat farming. And denying this guy who is watering the plants every day, tilling the land every day. Then, if you read the scripture, God is asking Cain, if you did a good thing, do you think I couldn't accept it? So it gave me a picture that, okay, actually Cain knew the heart of God, but he disobeyed. But what was the heart of God? A revelation came to me. Way back, Cain, way back, your mother and your father were living in the Garden of Eden. And they were clothed with glory, the glory of God. When they sinned, the glory of God that clothed them was taken away from them. The Bible says they found themselves naked. Meaning to say they were not naked before. They were clothed by the glory of the Lord. So when they sinned, they found themselves naked. What next? They went and take the leaves. They take the leaves, the vegetation. They take the leaves and cover themselves up. As we said, self-righteousness. And God was the first one to say, you are covering yourself with the leaves. No, 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 no. I know you have sinned. But leaves are not cool. I'm going to kill. And I'm going to make for you a warm leather cloth, a warm leather garment for you. The first sacrifice. And that made me know that Cain and Abel knew. When our parents sinned, God had to kill. So this time around, Abel is coming now. Cain is coming now with the same vegetations. The same vegetables that God refused his parents to wear. So he's coming with the same things that the parents was wearing and God removed to give the sacrifice. God says, no. Check back. Ask your parents. This is what I do. So actually he knew the heart of God, but he disobeyed. So Cain had the principle of reason. The principle of reason is, I'm a farmer. I'm going to give what I'm going to get from these things, from the ground. And Abel had a principle of submission. God sacrificed when our parents sinned. I'm going to do the same. And the priority has to be God and not self. When we are doing things for God, we don't look at our hearts. We look at the heart of God. We look at the heart of God. You look back at the heart of God. What is the heart of God? Then you do those things. Otherwise, you'll be a Christian with a lot of principle of reasoning. You'll be a carnal Christian. And that is very, very dangerous. We can also read Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Just as we have the law of gravity, we also have the law of lift. In physics, all these laws, the law of gravity, which speaks about the gravitational force, and the law of lift, were founded or discovered by Sir Isaac Newton. And the Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It is the same as the law of lifts, setting us free from the law of gravity. Maybe to speak a little bit, the law of gravity speaks of when you throw something into the sky, it comes back. The law of gravity. And the law of lift is what is used by the aeroplanes. When it comes up like this, it's going to be there. But mind you, it doesn't mean the law of gravity is not existing. It is still there. When the engine shuts, the plane will come. The law of gravity will be in effect. So, what I'm trying to, the laws, most of the time the Christians think, you know, this law is over, it doesn't exist anymore, whatever, no. Laws are going to be there. Laws are there. As I say, just as the law of gravity is there, the law of lift is there, just as the law of the Spirit of life is there, still the law of sin and death is there. But we are not operating under the law of sin and death. We are operating under the law of the Spirit of life. But the thing is, we have to lay down whatever is trying to pull us, or whatever is trying to shut down our plans. We have to make sure that really our fuel is in the tank, the law of lift is still in effect, that the law of sin and death, which is the law of gravitation force, is not going to be in effect in our lives. And in Genesis 3 verse 5, as we have spoken already, it was the attitude of rebellion. Actually, not this one. We haven't spoken. In Genesis 3 verse 5, God knew if you eat, you will be like him. Yeah, the first scripture, there was an attitude of rebellion. Because in Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating man, in his mind, he thought of himself, I'm going to create a man in our own image. Chapter 1. And now the devil is coming in chapter 3. He's already late. God has already created a man in his own image and in his own likeness. The enemy is coming now and is saying, you know what? God is lying. If you disobey him, you are going to be like him. This is what the enemy tries to do most of the times, all the times. Because this was a lie, but the enemy managed to manipulate Eve. Although God, in his mind, before they were created, I want to create a man in our own image. And later, a man is saying, no, I'm not yet like God. Let me disobey him now, so that I can be like him. So that was the attitude of rebellion in Genesis 3 verse 5. And in Genesis chapter 1, the first one, the second one, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the submission of understanding. They lack the submission of understanding that we are already like God. Eve lacked the submission of understanding that I'm already like God. I'm already ruling. I don't want to be more like God because I'm already like him. So we cannot be Christians and continue disobeying God. Disobeying God means obeying the devil. Each time God speaks to you something, and you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Actually, what you are doing, you're obeying the devil. So it's time we be Christians who are dead to self. And we be alive in God. Because the other point is, anything that prevents you to love God more is an idol. As we said, we have to lay it down. As I said, back home in Malawi, we thought idols is like big things, not anything that you are putting and saying, this God number two, that one. In Matthew 19:16-22, Matthew 19:16-22, there is a story about Jesus with the rich young ruler. And we know this story about. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, I have heard of you. And I like you. And I want to be your follower. Is it possible? Then Jesus says, Then he also asked, what can I do to enter heaven? Actually, he wanted to be
the follower of Jesus, and he wanted to know and to be assured that his seat is there already in heaven. And Jesus says, you know what, if you want to enter heaven, it's very easy. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Jesus now is giving this guy the commandments. And the rich young ruler is just smiling and saying, yeah, you know, God, the first one, I've done it already. The second one, I'm also very good. The law number three, I'm very good. Jesus finished mentioning the laws to this guy. And this guy at the end, he says, you know what, Christ Jesus, all these laws you spoke about, does it mean it's okay with me to heaven? Then Jesus looked at that guy. Because to me, I'm thinking this guy was very stubborn. But Jesus, I don't know how to describe him. He's just so much full of wisdom. And Jesus says, okay, if you want to follow me, because Jesus looked at him, he says, oh, this one is a rich businessman. This one is a rich businessman. Okay, if you want to follow me now, go home, sell whatever you have and follow me. The moment Jesus touched the finances of this guy says, he ran away. This guy, he ran away. But remember, I've said God is not an abusive father. God is a loving father. God is not a taker. God is a giver. Yesterday, Christopher came to my place. Then he was asking me, how ready are you? Then we started talking. And when I reached this to him, a revelation popped in my head. Then I became excited. I said, Christopher, I've got a revelation now. Then Christopher asked me, what is the revelation? I said, I have the revelation from this story. It was so funny. When we were talking with Christopher, the revelation was like this. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God are one. And God in heaven, once upon a time, spoke to the guy who was also like this young ruler who is rich. And that guy was Abraham. And God says, Abraham, do you really want to follow me? Abraham says, yes, God, you know, I do number one, I do number two, I'm following you already. Then God says, okay. Then God looked and scanned Abraham. And so Abraham has been, all his life, has been pursuing to have a son. All his dream has been trying to have a son. All his prayers are, God, a son. I have everything but a son. God gave him a son. And everything about Abraham was the son. So God says, okay, Abraham, give me the son. That revelation came when I was speaking to Christopher yesterday. That the rich young ruler was just like Abraham. And Jesus Christ was just like God. It is the thing that happened before. That if this guy was in scripture, he could know that, God did this to Abraham. Now God, he wants to do this to me. And he could copy the answer of Abraham. And the results of Abraham could also have happened to him. But because he lacked the revelation of knowing who Jesus was, he ran away. Abraham never ran away. He says, God, it is painful. But you know what? I refuse to be an idol worshiper of my son. I'm going to give him to you. God is a generous God. He loves us so much.
Sometimes people who are sick, they also start worshiping the sickness. Sometimes people who are poor, they also start worshiping their poverty. Sometimes people who are rich, they also start worshiping their richness. All this is called idol worshiping. And we have to reach to a level of coming to Christ and laying down everything, the sickness, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. The shame, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. If you are lonely, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. The guilt, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Everything that you are passing through, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Don't let your life be controlled, manipulated, directed by what you're passing through. You are just passing through. Don't even let your blessing come to curse and rob you the joy of living. God will never leave you. Every problem you have, just lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Because sometimes we come to a church like this and somebody preaches about healing and you are sick. You come in front. The moment they pray for you, believe in your heart, I've received. But sometimes we are healed and we know, today I am fine. I'm not feeling the pain. Then we start again. But you know I'm sick. Who told you you are sick? You are healed. Who told you you are sick? You are healed. So anything that is in your front that is trying to make you not focus on the cross of Calvary, just put it down at the feet of Jesus. Even if it is the pain, the headache, the depression, the loneliness, the guilt, lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Cast your cares upon the Lord. He will never leave you. In conclusion, I think my sermon was short. But it's my first time. So I can complain anyhow. Okay. What shall we do then? I have discovered one thing. We are a dangerous people. Christians. God has called us. The devil doesn't like it. And the world will try as much as possible to fight it. Because we are a dangerous people. But at the same time, we should not be attached to the world. Because the world wants us also to be attached to it. And if we say we are Christians, let's make sure we have received the Holy Spirit at the same time. Because a vehicle without fuel, nobody can drive it. And Christianity without the Holy Spirit is very, very hard. Pastor Andres called me last night. He says, "Elwins, are you ready? Can I come?" I said, "No, Pastor, don't come. I'm fine." "Have you prepared the message?" I said, "Yes, Pastor, I've prepared the message. I'm fine." Yeah, but the thing was, I was so much excited of this moment. And at the same time, I was nervous at this moment. But at the same time, I knew being nervous for whatever you do is a good thing. To me, it means respect. You respect the calling. You don't take it for granted. You respect what God has given you. Don't take it for granted. You don't say, "Yes, I can preach. Yes, I can do." No, 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 no. It's not your word, it's the word of God. So when pastor says, can I come? I said, no, don't come. But actually, I wanted him. But at the same time, I says, no, I have to go there. I have to pray a lot. I have to have the revelations. I have to have the revelations, but yeah, I just need to do this. Then I said, no, pastor, don't come. I spoke with Christopher. I'm fine. You see, because in me, there was boldness. That if a Muslim can put a bomb and blast himself up because of Muhammad, I can do that because of Christ. Amen. To me, I had that boldness that, you know what, I can die for Jesus. But remember, that boldness is not arrogant. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But remember at the same time that when Jesus was crucified, all the disciples ran away. All of them. It was only the women beside Jesus. But all the 12 were not there. Judas was trying to find a good tree to hang himself up. And Peter, the one who says, Lord, I'm going to sharpen my sword. No one is going to catch you. I love you so much. I'm going to kill for you. That guy was also cursing. I've never met this Jesus. In fact, I just heard that he's been crucified. I just came to see. I've never walked with him. But you know what? Jesus already prayed for Peter. Because the devil asked for Peter and Jesus prayed for him. But also Jesus understood these guys, they are willing, but they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it is very dangerous. Because you walk by flesh. You operate in reasoning. You see like how the world sees. And you hear like how the world hears. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a different person. That's why Jesus says, guys, I'm going to my Father. Don't worry, you're not going to be alone. The moment I reach to my Father, I'm going to ask for one thing for you. The Holy Spirit. And he's going to come to you. And he's going to fill you. And he's going to walk with you. And we see in Acts 2, verse 17. The Bible says, in the last days, God says, this is the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. And when all these guys were running away because of the swords, were in the upper room praying and interceding, when they received the Holy Spirit, they started now looking for those people who are soldiers, preaching to them. They were very bold because they had the Holy Spirit. So today, if you have never experiencing how it is to walk with the Holy Spirit, how it is to just put a chair there and also your chair here and say, Holy Spirit, sit here, talk to me. This is the day. But you cannot manage to walk with Jesus or to say, I am a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Because we have a lot of professional Christians. And that is very dangerous. So if you have never received the Holy Spirit baptism, when you believed, I'm not going to say raise up your arm. But I'm going to say, come forward. Because that is the boldness. That is the step. And also if you are sick, God is a healer. You can also come for one. Above all, the Bible says, if one man who is a sinner repents, there is a celebration in heaven. So if you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior, this is also your moment. If you are sick, headache, or any other type of sickness, don't say you're not sick. You just go home, take some tablets. God is here, is going to heal you. That bondage is going to remove it. And I want to remind you, God is greater than your doctor. Maybe you might forget. So, if you are sick, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, and if you haven't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can come forward.
I just want to add to that. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you for your word that you have spoken to us today, Lord. And Lord, we also just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and search our own hearts, Lord, for the idols in our hearts. Lord, the excuses that we have not to listen to your call. Lord, when you call us, Father, there are sometimes things in our lives, Lord, that are more important. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we want to clothe ourselves with self-righteousness. Lord, we want to clothe ourselves with what we have done and what we can do. And we have many reasons, Lord. And sometimes, Lord, we are like Cain, Lord. We with self-righteousness make offerings to you. And sometimes we like Adam and Eve, Lord, we want to cover ourselves, Lord, with excuses. Lord, but this morning, Father, I also sense that you're calling us to obey you, to take a step, Lord, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and search our hearts, Lord, for the things, Lord, that are excuses in our life to follow you, to respond to you, Lord. The fear that we have, Lord, as we heard in the offering, Lord, sometimes we're afraid. We are afraid to respond to your call, Lord. We are afraid of what people might think. We are afraid, Lord, that when we ask you for the Holy Spirit, you will give us a stone. You'll give us a scorpion. And Lord, yet you say that if our fathers in heaven knows to give on earth, knows how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will the Father also give us the Holy Spirit if we ask him? So Lord, as you call us today, Lord, we don't want to make excuses. Lord, if we are sick this morning, Lord God, you are calling us to be healed. Lord, help us not to make excuses. And if you're here this morning and you have not experienced the Holy Spirit as Alvin is speaking about, Lord, I pray that you will help us not to make excuses, Lord, but to respond to your call. And Lord, if we have not given our life to you, Lord, if we haven't fully surrendered to you yet, Lord, or we've walked away from you, God, and you're calling us back this morning, Lord, let us not make excuses, Lord, but let us come to you. So I want to give you an opportunity here this morning. If that is you, if God has been speaking, if God is calling you about your health, about your relationship with him, and about your desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if that is you this morning, I want to ask you to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. And maybe for some of us here this morning, you need to lay down idols also. You need to lay down things. You need to come to God and say, God, I acknowledge before you, Lord. I repent, Lord, as you ask these questions this morning through your word. What are the excuses in my heart, Lord? I will not give a self-righteous answer, Lord, but I'm going to lay down the idols before you, Lord. I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to follow you. So, Father, I pray for each and every heart here this morning. If that is you, I want you to be bold and to respond and to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. So I want to ask you to come forward for those of you who want to receive ministry, and we're going to be here. I want to ask the band to come up, and we're going to minister a song, and then we're going to conclude the meeting. And let us all stand as the band plays, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to worship God. But I want to ask you to respond. If God has been calling you, just come forward right now. Now is a good time. Let's come forward. Let's respond to God's calling. Let's not give a self-righteous answer, but let us come. Let us humble ourselves and receive. Let us obey God. Let us lay down the idols in our life. Let us lay down the things and the excuses. Let us lay down the fear of man and the fear of not receiving from a good God. He is a good God. He's here to bless, not to keep. He is here to bless, not to take. He is here not to embarrass, but to give life. So I want to ask you, if God has been speaking to you through this word, just respond. And I want to ask the facilitators also to help. Ask the band to lead us in a song. And as we continue to worship, if you want to respond, just come forward. And at the end of the song, I'm going to dismiss the meeting, and there's some coffee and great fellowship. Please remember to connect with our guests and with those you don't know.